church, right? So the first thing I'm going to tell you about is that Pastor and I and Tim went across the mountain on Friday to see Teresa. And praise the Lord, she is doing so well. She still has not been able to eat yet because they had to redo everything inside. But she is just, there's such a sparkle, there's such life in her face, a sparkle in her eye. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she's healed. We know that. And I was telling her, I said, I remember the day that you stood up front and you said, I can't wait for the day that I'm going to be a testimony to prayer. And that's exactly what she is. She's a testimony to prayer. So amen for that. We're so excited about Teresa. Okay, and then the next thing is that I injured myself quite severely on Wednesday. I was just doing my normal get ready in the morning, and I injured my knee really bad. I went to see Brenda. She didn't even know, but by the time I got to the doctor on Thursday, I could not walk. And on Friday, when we went to the hospital to see Teresa, poor Pastor and Tim had to wheel me around in a wheelchair. I was not able to walk on this leg. And last night at prayer, God healed me. I woke up this morning. I have my high heels on. I'm ready to do business. And I'm going to tell you that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I am going to tell you healing is in the house this morning. Amen? I want to read a scripture to you, and I'm excited because the one version that this scripture is that I'm going to read to you is in the New Living Translation, and we've heard this scripture many times over the past couple years, and it says in Revelation 12 verse 11, and they have defeated him being the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of their testimony. And I want to add a because there, but it's not there. They were not afraid to die. Now, what that word means, and there's such a revelation that my husband was telling me this morning, that it's not about death dying. It's about dying to self. It's about dying to my way of wanting things to be. It's about dying to my will, dying to my flesh. So let me read that, and I'm going to just take liberty and put a because in there too, okay? Just bear with me. I'm sorry. And they have defeated him because of the blood of the Lamb. And because of their testimony, and because they were not afraid to die to self, die to will, die to their way of wanting things to be, because they were willing to say, Jesus, what do you want? And do you know what? He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to have testimony. He wants all these good things for his kids. Now, I know for a fact, as I'm sitting here or standing here, that there are testimonies in this house already. Jenny and Sammy are here, and Jenny got full custody of her baby boy. That is testimony. That is a testimony right there. I'm a testimony to healing. I know that God is in the house this morning, and God is ready to meet every need. So we're going to stand together, and we are going to worship him like we've never worshiped before. And because of the testimony of Gaylene and the testimony of Teresa and Jenny and everybody else, our faith, there should be nothing we can't believe in this morning. Jesus is here, and he is ready to meet every need, and we are going to tap into that, and we're going to believe it. Amen. So this morning, Father, we just come to you believing, faith believing, God, that you have good things in store for your kids today, God, because you love us, God, because you're the God of this house. So, Lord, this morning we just give you this whole thing, God. However you want to see it work out, however you want it to go, God, we just say yes, yes, yes. Amen.
The winds are gonna change. corporate, less of us, God, and more of you today, Jesus. Less of us, God, and more of you. Yes, Jesus.
Love never fails.
good. No matter what, no matter what, all things work together for my good. You can do it, Lord. All things work together for my good. Yes, you make all things work together for my good. Yes, Jesus.
You are
Compares to your embrace.
So I just want to let you guys know that Pastor Gay and Pastor Lynette did not get together and cue that up so that she would open with that and then this song would play. That's Holy Spirit. And when Holy Spirit is communicating to us, it's for a reason. And I don't know if you've noticed, but many of the songs were talking about reigning and dominion and authority. And I really believe that God is anxious to show, just as he shows in Pastor Gay's knee and in Teresa over in Seattle and many others as they're receiving God's grace, that his authority rules, that he is the one that gives us victory. Even in the face of what looks like defeat, I believe victory can come in because he works all things together for our good. So I just want you to just hear that the Lord wants to reign over every sickness and disease in this place. He wants to reign over every addiction, every chain and every shackle. He wants to reign over it. He wants to have dominion and authority over it, over relationship issues, over stresses and anxieties, over depression. He wants to reign over it. He wants to have authority over it. Do you hear that today? Holy Spirit is crying out for us to receive freedom, liberty, peace, love, grace, his truth in our life for a lie. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Gay's had a vision to do something here.
So I know that this is kind of out of our normal, but when we took over as pastors, we said no compromise. So just kind of go with what Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. And if this means the whole worship team is going to be involved, maybe Jesse could play something canned if that's the case. We'll just see how it goes. But we're going to ask our leaders that are full of faith to come up here right now. So any of you that are leaders, Tyson, Angela, David and Tanya, I mean, just come on. If you know you're a leader, you know who you are. We just are asking you to just come forward. We're going to make what's called a prayer tunnel. Ken and Barb, we're going to do a prayer tunnel, and we're going to, that means some stand on this side and some stand on this side, and we're going to ask anybody that feels like they need prayer to come and line up right over here on this side of the sanctuary, and we're going to ask you to come through the prayer tunnel. Now, you have to understand that I know these people, they're full of faith. And they're going to pray, faith believing, that you're going to overcome discouragement and depression and sickness and disease and, you know, whatever it is that you need healing from, shackles to be broken off, freedom. In the name of Jesus, we're going to ask you to come through for prayer. So I need some on this side facing this direction and some on this side facing this direction. So let's separate it out so it looks like a tunnel. Like this, yes, we're doing better. Leaders just have to get their cue. We're good. So we're going to ask anybody that believes that they need to have healing, just slowly walk through. Do not be in a rush because God is here and he is going to really truly just, he's going to overcome anything that you need prayer for. Amen.
And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Oh, we the blood of the Lamb and the your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name.
Today, Lord, we declare the authority of God. We declare the dominion of God over our lives. We declare the full authority in every area of our life. We submit to God's authority. We submit to God's dominion right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every individual, Lord, that came through the prayer time, Lord, that as they've been touched, Lord, that you would remain, Lord, that you would continue to do, Lord, a mighty work in their lives. Lord, that you'd bring restoration. You would bring healing. You would bring, Lord, even order to hearts and minds, Lord, that there would just be, Lord, an alignment, Lord, in their lives, Lord, because of your touch. Pray for those who didn't come through today, Lord, that Lord, even though they didn't come up, Lord, that you would still touch them right where they're at. That they would experience your goodness. They would experience your love, Lord. Father, we know that you are doing a work in us as your people. And Father, we receive, Lord, all that that work can accomplish. We ask, Lord, that nothing would be left undone. Nothing would be left undone. As Pastor Lynette said earlier, less of us, more of you. Less of us, God, more of you. Lord, be the more in our lives. Be the fullness in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of my favorite sayings in God is, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that was an act of obedience today. Because, you know, it's not the norm to just get a prayer line going. But God did a supernatural work in many lives here that you can't even tell from the surface. It was deep in their heart. Bodies were touched. Bodies were healed. We're going to hear testimonies of that. And he's not done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team, man. Amazing worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have your complete work, Lord, in each and every life right now in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, we yield to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every need being met today here, God. Every need in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we have the children come on up? Impact, come on up. Impact is our junior high and high school age group. And children are children, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hi, hon, how are you doing? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just ask that you would just continue, Lord, to touch these hearts and these lives as they go down today. Lord, I pray that they would experience, Lord, everything that you have for them. Lord, let your truth be made known to each and every heart. Lord, we just pray right now that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would lead and guide and direct each and every one today into your truth. Father, I pray that they would understand, Lord, that they're children of God. Lord, that they're called for such a time as this. Lord, that you have a purpose and a destiny for each one of their lives. Lord, not when they grow up, Lord, but today. Today in this hour, God, you have a divine destiny and plan for them. I pray, Lord, that they would be able to start praying for their friends. Lord, for their classmates, Lord, at school. God, that they would not fear, Lord, but they would stand boldly in you, Lord, and that they would see your hand of supernatural power touching others' lives, Lord, as they step out in faith. God, I pray for supernatural wisdom, God. Help them to be the cut above, Lord, of this day and hour, Lord, of people, God, that because of your wisdom, because of your knowledge that's in them, because of them submitting to you, Lord, that they excel, Lord, in their classroom, Lord. They excel, Lord, in anything that they set their hand to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Can I share something with people real quick?
Sure, yeah. I'm going to have to turn this off.
This has really been exceptional for me. I've never experienced anything like this before. When I decided to come up there and go through that tunnel, I was turning everything over to God. Mm. When I almost was at this point, I felt this incredible warmth come over me. It's like an oven had just been turned on. First two people that I got prayed over me with, I've been praying to God for the things that I've been wanting for, which is getting rid of all this anxiety in my chest, and it was hurting. And I wanted to be a shining light for God. And the first two people just brought that up. And I knew right then and there that God was in this the whole time. But my chest was still hurting. And everybody kept on praying over me. And by the time I reached the end, it was so overwhelming of God's power and peace and joy. That evidently I'd fallen down. And now the pain in my chest is gone.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I've been able to actually breathe in deeply more. So.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So God's power is there.
Amen.
And just believe and trust in Him. That's all it takes. And all things shall be overcome through Him.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, bro. Reality. I love reality. Real faith. Well, we're going to have baptisms next week. I know some of you have signed up, but I want to give another opportunity. If you would like to be baptized, we're going to have baptisms during worship service. And we have a 9:30 class. So if you're going to be baptized, we ask you to attend that 9:30 class. Just kind of goes over what baptism is. And so there we go. And then we haven't done this for a while, but we need more people praying. More prayer is better than less prayer. So we have a prayer chain here at the church. And actually, if you would like, you can come and pick up one of these magnets. We're getting down to the last of these. Might have to make some more in a little bit. Tara's going like, more people? It's like, we'll have to definitely do something else, won't we, Tara? They're right there. 731-3414 is the phone number. Call that if you have a prayer need. No texting. Yes. People try to text back the prayer chain, and unfortunately, it's every now and then we miss it completely, but sometimes we don't see it for a few days, you know, so you're thinking that we're not being responsive. Please call the prayer chain. Thank you. And then if you would like to sign up for it, what we do is we take your name, and we will text you, or we will email you the prayer request. And as I said last week, the prayer requests are already prayed through when Tara is sending them out. You can say, amen, yes, Lord, touch him in that way, or you can add your prayer to it. So when Tara receives it, I believe she prayerfully considers what to say and how to say it, and then to communicate it to everyone so that it can be a move of faith and confidence. And so we're blessed to have Tara on the prayer chain, and I know it's her heart. But if you'd like to sign up for it, it might be kind of hard to navigate this side. I'll go ahead and put this. I think you guys are on the prayer chain, so here you go. Ooh, somebody's got a Star Trek communicator. Is that you, Jesse? That was you? Have you not heard of it? It's called the silent switch. Haven't heard of it. Okay. You have now. Little education. You have to teach computer guys sometimes what to do. Yeah. I'm a computer guy, so I can say that tongue-in-cheek because it's the truth. Seems like as technology gets simpler, it gets harder for us guys who know how to do all the tricky stuff. Isn't that the truth? It's like, where's the buttons? Where's the right click? It's gone. Yeah, it's right. It's just all been simplified so that smart people can't do it. Or dumb people can't do it. One of the two. You take your pick. I'll be in either camp. Okay, I'm closing a few apps here. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to be a child of God. There's nothing better to be as far as I'm concerned. There's no greater gift than having the love of God and the grace of God and the truth of God in my life. And I just pray that I never take it for granted. I pray that I never sell it short. I pray that I never get so caught up in the lies of this life or the circumstances that can overwhelm you sometimes that I just let the truth fall away. I pray that I'd be one that buys the truth and never sells it. And even though the truth is free, how many know it's a price? Because you have to yield to truth. See, truth is out there. It's yelling in the streets. You know, it says that wisdom in Proverbs, if you read Proverbs, is yelling in the streets. I mean, you know that wisdom is truth. Wisdom of God is truth. And it's yelling in the streets. But if you don't yield to it, it does you no good. So, with that said, and I know I don't know how many times I've preached on truth and light and all those things, but I guess God's continuing to work in me, obviously, because today the message is basically called Truth Forever. Truth Forever. If you would turn me, we'll start in 2 John. And we'll start in 2 John, verse 1. And I'll read out of the New King James. 2 John, book right before Revelation. Actually, Jude's just before Revelation, but 2nd, 3rd John's right in there. It says, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as I receive commandment from the Father. Then he says, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So we have this, it says, and this is love, verse 6, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So this truth that we have will be with us forever. And the thing is that truth is a, I don't want to put this, truth has been given to us so that we can be completely like Jesus. The truth is so that we can have his entire image, character, nature in us. The truth of God is not just so that we can be smart, like Christians can be smart, you know. You ever been around a Christian that's smart? Not necessarily walking in truth, but smart. Book smart. They can quote scripture. You know, sometimes you run into people, they're not even serving God anymore, and they can quote scripture better than you can. But just because they're Bible smart doesn't mean that they have truth. Truth can be very simple. Do you guys realize that? Truth does not have to be complicated. We make truth complicated. And I think because we've made truth so complicated, it's something that most people think they can't attain. They think it's something they have to strive and stress and anguish over to receive truth. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I want to abolish that today. I want you guys to realize that truth abides in you. Truth lives in you. Truth's with you. It's with you. You can't get away from truth. But you can ignore truth. See, truth is right beside us all the time. Truth is inside of us all the time. And I mean, yes, you could say, well, it's truth that tells me don't do this and don't do that, or stay away from this and stay away from that. That's true. That truth helps us that way. But that's when you start making truth like the law. Truth's not the law. Truth is the furthest thing from the law. Because the law limits love. But truth magnifies love. Truth exalts love. Truth exhibits love. And so without truth being fully exposed to you and fully yielded in you, then you will become legalistic and religious. It will happen. Because truth is simple. Now, you can say doctrine can be complicated. And it can be. I mean, somebody was asking me a question about the resurrection. And, you know, I mean, does our body just lay there for a while? I mean, you know, that's doctrine, you know, and trying to understand, you know, what happens to a person after they die. Well, the word says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there's a scripture that tells us that when we die, we're with God. But then there's also scriptures that talk about the resurrection. So that's doctrine. But the problem is, if you make doctrine truth without making truth truth, I hope this makes sense. If you make the absolute doctrine with no bars, no shifting, no, and that's what people have done. That's why we have denominations. Do you guys know what denominations are? They're basically truth centers. Truth was revealed, or maybe doctrine was revealed, and because nobody else would understand this doctrine or this truth the way that we understood it, then we have to make sure that nobody else gets in or gets out missing this doctrine. But the problem is, doctrine isn't just truth, or truth isn't just doctrine. There is truth in doctrine. I hope you guys get this, because it's very important. Because if we don't realize that truth is simple, then we're going to be stressing to learn things and to be a good Christian and to have mental understanding and not walk in truth. Because truth is all about love. I mean, listen to what he says here. Did you guys get it? It says here, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. See, John's a disciple of love. And, you know, this has come to me, and I'm not trying to say he's the best disciple or he's the best apostle. Not going to say that. He did himself pen the words, the disciple that Jesus loved. So he has that reputation on his own. But I just want to submit this to you. John, the apostle, was the only disciple standing at the foot of the cross and didn't run from the scene. He stood in the same room where Jesus was being interrogated by the Sanhedrin. While Peter was in the courtyard, what? Denying him three times. Now, I know we can say, oh, shame on you, Peter, and pat John on the back. That's not what John did. John did not pat himself on the back. John said, Jesus loves me, so I have the strength to stand with him during this testing of my faith as well. And his other disciples failed. They ran. They scattered. One ran off naked in the night. So John, in this revelation of love, is able to stand at the foot of the cross and then given one of the greatest assignments, I believe, that Jesus could have gave him. What are you saying? To go and preach the gospel? No, to take care of his mother. John, at the foot of the cross, before ministry was sent out, before the Great Commission happened, was given a mission. Because he knew God's love. He knew the truth, the simple truth of love. I bet the disciples at times would sit there and say things, oh, what do you think about this? Jesus, what do you think about this? You know, the Pharisees teach this, and you can see some of the things they talk about. And you know, John would just say, guys, let's listen to truth. He's right here. We don't need to argue over this stuff. I think he had an understanding of Jesus that only love could give him. Yes. Do you see? And see, John knew, as he says here, that truth is love, and love is truth. See, get this. Jesus, would you say Jesus was full of love? Would you guys say that? I mean, if you were to describe Jesus is full of love, and you would say, amen, where's that in the Bible? Well, you're going to have a hard time finding that verse. But But get this, follow me. 1 John. No, John chapter 1. There's an anointing here, folks. I'm telling you right now, get ready to receive. There's an anointing of truth being released right now in this house. No, John, the book of John. And we're going to listen to verse, hang on here a second. I think it's 16. Yeah, right here, 14. And it says this, and let's go to 13. No, let's go to 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You are a child of God. If you believe in his name, you're a child of God. And a child of God is not something that's a tagline to being a Christian. We have got to get rid of that mindset. What? Oh, the book of John, chapter 1. Yeah, sorry. I said 1 John and I got a little zealous. John 1 verse 12. No worries. We're family. We're One Life Family Worship. We didn't say that today, but that's our new name for those who, what? I thought we were church. No, we're One Life Family Worship. That God gave us that last week, and we're sticking with it since he gave it to us. And I keep saying, Lord, what does this mean? I had Brother Dennis come this week, and he had been praying, and he had been asking God about what it could mean. And actually, we're going to be printing off several sheets that he wrote out, and they're anointed. They're full of truth, and I believe they're going to speak about who we are. Real quickly, this is what I believe will be the three things that go with who we are. And because, you know, I had two right away. The One Life to Live, and that's not a soap opera. I mean, it is a soap opera, but it's not our soap opera. We're not a soap opera, right? We're an event. God is doing something in us, and we're an event in God. And then we have One Life to Give. But I couldn't get the other one. I know I'm off topic here for this. This is really good, though. This tells you how great God is. And we were sitting, Josh and I were sitting at coffee with Dennis, and he was sharing some of this stuff. And I read it, and then Josh read it, and then Josh repeated back, and he says, wow, this is amazing. Follow. And I said, follow. Duh. When I was saved, I didn't go up and, you know, say, dear Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Someone showed me the life of Jesus, and I, like Matthew, felt the bidding to follow him. Because that's where we start. It's not just about getting people to confess some prayer. Believe me, folks, praying out loud and confessing Jesus as Lord is very important. But that's not the full work of salvation. It's following him. You know, you have to follow him. It's not just repeating that, you know, he died for you and then going and doing your own thing. It's following him. And so, one life to follow, that's Jesus Christ. One life to live, we got one life to live for him. And that means becoming a disciple, being trained, being mentored, being a discipler to others. And then we have one life to give. Just as Jesus was that one life given freely to the world, we are now one life given to this lost and dying world. So there's a little deal. Maybe one day I'll preach on it. But so that I believe that encapsulates what God's going to be doing in us. It has already done. Someone said, well, this is what we are already. Really, it is. So, praise God. But as many have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. What I said is that children of God is not just an addendum or a tagline to being a Christian. It's all about being a child of God. Go through the Gospels. Jesus is all the time talking about the Father, the Father, the Father. Some people say, well, but we're supposed to focus on Jesus. Yes, we're supposed to focus on Jesus, and Jesus then points us to the Father. Did you guys know that? He does. And you know, so much of the disciples said, show us the Father. Hey, have I been with you so long, guys, you don't recognize who I am? We're one. But when we look at Jesus, we're seeing the Father. We have to realize that we're children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, we just had a description of Jesus as full of something. Grace and truth. I believe those are describing love right there, folks. Grace and truth equal love. So if you have truth, you have love. If you don't have love, you don't have truth. And if you don't have love, you're not in God. And if you're not in God, you're not in truth. It's so simple that we've made it so complicated that literally you have to become a rocket scientist. I'm saying it truly, to figure out Christianity. And we've got people in colleges and schools trying to figure out how this thing works when it was so meant to be so simple a child could get it. Duh! What do you think he meant by, come to me as a little child? I wonder how many get that lesson first time when they enter seminary. Probably very few. Because it's all about what we know and have attained this level of knowledge. And what does knowledge do? It puffs up. It makes us so big that we can't contain truth. Because truth is light and free and liberating. When you walk in truth, you don't walk in bondage. And it's such good news because truth is here, guys, and it's here to stay. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is being poured out in a new way, new revelations, new understandings of His love, not of some deep spiritual mindsets, but of the simplicity of the love of God. And that is the ultimate power. That is the ultimate knowledge, is the love of God. If we could just get that, we would be so well off. And we would be such a blessing to this world instead of being something that some of the world goes, oh, this is so hard to stomach. Christians that think they're better than I am. Because we're not. Do you guys realize that? Even in this saved grace state of righteousness, we're not better than the world. And if we could get that down, we would be walking in truth. Jesus did not walk in a snobbish attitude that he could only be with so many people. Yes, he did go to first the children of God, and they were the Israelites. And he did not deviate from that very much. But within that culture, he was known as a drunkard and a wine bibber and hanging around with the bad people and stuff because he did not look at his righteousness as a reason to be separated from someone. Do you guys remember that story last week about really the one who gave his life? It was the Samaritan who did not care who that person was. He didn't care, you know what he was going to lose. All he knew is there was a need and he was willing to give his one life for that. Now, he didn't have to lay down his life completely, but he was giving up money, time. We don't know where he was headed. For all we know, he just gave up an appointment to sell his house. We don't know what he gave up. But we do know that he exhibited love to his neighbor. I believe that Samaritan was full of grace and truth. Do you see? And you could say that the Pharisees and the lawyer were full of knowledge. And the knowledge kept them from love. The law kept them from love. So anytime we do this, folks, anytime we say, in other words, bad, bad, you're wrong, we're right, you're wrong, and we get this attitude of, I'm better than you, because it's all through the Christian world, folks. It is. You just have to trust me. And we get this attitude of that, I know what I'm talking about, but you don't. You guys ever heard that? Maybe some of your family members who are Christian, you guys start talking about certain things, and it becomes like World War II. Who let the dogs out, right? Ooh, ooh. I mean, really. It's like you guys are getting ready to get brass knuckles and nunchucks and ready to go at it. All over knowledge. This is so important. Folks, this is so important. God wants us to walk in a simplified walk of truth and love. Not complicated. not hard to understand, and easy to walk. Easy. An easy yoke. An easy burden. Not something that weighs us down, that we feel like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm still a Christian. I can't believe that all this stuff keeps happening to me. I just want to just throw in the towel. It's because you're carrying the weight of the world instead of releasing everything you have into his loving arms and falling back, just like Brian demonstrated today, under the power and the heat of God. Brian was just being a little kid. That's all he was being. Just falling to his daddy's arms. Now, I know God didn't literally catch him, but the point was, is he just, I just want you. I just want to be healed of this. I just want to get rid of this stuff. And I have to tell you that when you start getting to the place where you don't care about what you look like, or you don't care about a reputation, you're able to hear from others difficult things that if you care about what you look like, you care about a reputation, you may not be able to receive. Pastor Gay, last night before she received her healing, was encouraged. And that's what I'm going to use the word. But she had a couple of things that were going on in her heart. And through words of knowledge, she could have said, well, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm not going to, you know. She humbly said, oh, Lord, if that's me, yeah, correct that in me, Lord. Just change that in me. And it was just, it's a humility of heart. And guess what? It was easy for her leg to get healed. It wasn't a fight. Isn't that not true? I have no idea where I'm going with that part. Okay. People who listen to some of my stuff, is he schizophrenic? Yeah, he kind of is. Those who know him. Yeah, but we love him. he's our schizophrenic. Oh, hey. Oh, that was my iPad. Sorry. Judge not. What, Jess? You got the hanky going on back there, don't you? He's not saying nothing. I'm like, where's my phone? It's gone. Okay. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Are you guys getting something out of this? Good, okay. Because I didn't know what I was going to be giving you, so I'm glad. I mean, I had some scriptures, but oh my goodness, I had no idea. This is like a pipeline that God opened up today. So if you go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, you start reading down, you get the part where it says that we're to get this knowledge that is available to us. It's a knowledge of God's grace and love. To have this knowledge of him and to have an understanding of who we are in him and who he is in us and who he is as the Word. And we take his promises and we hold on to him, that there's a divine nature that overtakes us and we're transformed and changed. And I used to quote that like the law. I really did. I quoted it like the law. You guys have heard me teach it before. And it's all true, but the problem is, what's the spirit behind the truth that you're communicating? And so it was this, you know, like, I'm going to be transformed and super Christian. You know, I don't know. But as you go down, then it talks about, well, let's just go through it because it's so good. I believe it's the steps to love, because it says it is. I'm in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. That's like a joke we have between us. What are you preaching on? The Bible? The Bible? Yeah, she has definitely issues and having to have me as a husband, but she deals with me well. She extends grace and love all the time. You have to be full of grace and truth, don't you? Yeah. Okay, but listen to this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Isn't that amazing? You start with faith, simple faith, and you start in that faith, start applying virtuous knowledge, and that knowledge, then you start saying, okay, well, I'm not going to let this knowledge run me. I'm going to start giving it self-control, and I'm going to start giving it discipline. I'm going to start not just blabbing my mouth. I'm going to let this knowledge that God's given me do something inside of me. So now self-control starts to have a work, and then self-control makes you perseverant. You just keep going on. You keep driving. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to receive the prize. From this knowledge that God's given me, this faith that God, it's all from God. You ain't doing nothing, none of this. You have to get that. If we could just get the fact that we're just in a way vessels, that He, through grace and love, fills us. And if we yield to it, man, we get faith, we get virtue. Self-control comes in, perseverance comes in. Then godly character starts coming in. And with that godly character, brotherly kindness. What's that? That's just being generous and gracious and loving to each other. But then, love. Agape. That's where it's unconditional. Doesn't matter if they slap you in the face. Doesn't matter if they take your stool when you were sitting in it and you hit the floor. I'm not kidding. That's what agape does. Agape says, oh, there must have been a reason why you did that. It's because your heart's hurting. Some people say, Pastor, my urine. Idiot. They're just being mean to you. Well, it doesn't matter. Something going on inside of them that made them be mean to me. I try to get that through my son, and I try to say, well, have you ever thought about what's going on? No. Just want to hit him. You know, it's like, you know, because there's some perfection that needs to go on there, but me as well. But kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys need to circle that. You'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You'll be full of grace and truth. Do you see that that's what that means? We think, oh, I'll never be barren or knowledge in the Bible. That's not what it says. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what was He full of? Grace and truth. It's so simple. Kids can get it. I can get it now. It's amazing. And it says here, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Is that not ever the truth? You start lacking these things start falling off your life, and you start forgetting that you were even saved through the precious blood of Jesus. And you think that you're now part of God's holy quadrupedy, or whatever you want to call it. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's not a holy trinity. I'm now part of what God needs. Some of you say, oh, I've never done that. Well, not in fullness, but in little bits and pieces, which are all lies. Okay, listen to this. And then comes the slammer. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. We wonder, remember with me back a little bit. What was it that was considered blindness and darkness? It was not walking in a love that kept your brother and sister from stumbling. Do you see how this is so full circle? We always think blindness is, oh, I don't know, you know, right from wrong. Well, that's part of it. But it's that you're so blind that you can't live a life to love others. Some way, well, you know, I do this, I do that for charities. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you realizing that your life is so, that others' lives are so hinged on your life that you want to do everything within your power to exhibit love by how you live. You don't cause others to fall because you live a certain way. See, we always think that you don't do these things and stay away from that stuff so that you can be righteous. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It really is, because that's self-righteousness. See, the only righteousness I can stand is Jesus Christ's righteousness. All of those are an outward appearance of His inward righteousness. And so if we make it about, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, and that's how I make myself right, what have I done now? I've now made it so that I cause others to literally stumble because I can't keep doing those things. Anybody know? How many of you said, I don't want to do that anymore? I'm not going to do that anymore. And in your own strength, you decide not to do that anymore. Not love, your own strength. Not grace and truth, your own strength. Now what are you doing? Now you're literally setting yourself up because you're determined. So you're so determined, most of the time you look like you're going to do well. But when you fall, guess what? Now you're not only blind to yourself, you're blinding others. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. That's not talking about some apostle's office or some, you know, pastor's office or evangelist's office. That's talking to you and me as Christians to make sure that we're staying in the faith, that we're making his call in our life, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's really what we're all elected to do, is to lead others to Christ as we've been led to Christ. Four, so an entrance will be supplied to you to the abundantly into... For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, now listen to this. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you now are established in this present truth. Now, the Lord is so gracious to me as he reminded me of this. I said, oh, present truth. Okay, well, you mean that that's like the truth that's present here now. That's not what that's saying at all. This is saying, let me get the wording here for this. This word present is two Greek words. It's para, and the other one is like emi. Para emi. Which the word para, these are like two basically prefixes that have been put together to make one word. And basically what it means is the word emi means present or with you. But the word para means like with. So what this is saying is that there is a truth that's with you. It abides in you. You can't get away from it. I want you guys to understand that because there should be no deception anymore in any of your lives. I want you to know that 100%. There should be no deception in your lives anymore. Some would say, well, what if someone tries to trip me up in the Word? What if they try to come and tell me things that I don't understand? Well, you have truth abiding in you. You have a present truth in you right now. If you receive Jesus Christ, you've received this truth. So there should be no reason for your hearts anymore to be deceived. Now, the only reason that you'll be deceived if you start believing things that you see and hear outside and not listen to the present truth that's inside of you. There's a truth of God. There's a knowledge of God. There's an anointing of God, it says back in 1 John, that abides with us and it's in us. And he even says after that, that no teacher is necessary in your life because of, oh, I saw that, Zeke. What are you talking about, Pastor? You've been in my house for the last 8 years teaching me stuff. You never told me this. I always thought I had to have you come so that I could hear truth, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about fellowship and building each other up. What we're talking about here is that there is a scheme of the enemy to keep the body of Christ under such a deception and under such a lie that we think it's a hard thing to serve God. And we think it's a hard thing to love. And we think it's a hard thing to abide in him. And we think it's a hard thing to rest in God because of this lie and this deception that's out there. And I'm telling you, that lie and deception has no authority over you anymore. Because you have a present truth with you. It abides in you. Okay, I can see you're not all believing me. It's like, okay, Pastor, show us some Bible to back that up. All right, let's do that. Follow me to 1 John, as I said, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. Say it again. And I know I'm going a little bit long, but you guys know when I'm done, I'm done. When I'm not done, I'm not done. So Just have to bear with me here. Love suffers long, okay? Yeah, thanks. Was that you, Jess? Ah. It's a peanut gallery. All right. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2. We've got that determined, don't we? Okay, right here. Start at verse 20 of chapter 2. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I see that, Zeke. It's like, whoa. That's what it says, doesn't it? You have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, that word anointing is the same word that if you go back to the root where we get our word Christ. It's charisma. And it means to be smeared with oil. You have an anointing that is like the smearing of God on you. And because of that, you can know all things. Now, we don't know all things, but we have the ability to see and know all things. And whether it's imparted by the Spirit, or whether it's transferred from the Word to our heart by the Spirit, or whether it's revelation that comes in time of prayer, or whether it's just a word of wisdom that comes, and all of a sudden, how did I know that? Anybody been there? How did I know that? You're talking to somebody, you tell them how their problem needs to be fixed. How did I know that? It's because you have the anointing. It's not just an anointing so you can pray for other people, and it's not just an anointing so that you can be somebody. It's an anointing so that you can know truth. Because folks, if we don't have truth and grace, what do we not have? Love. And if you don't have love, as John says, what do we not have? We don't have God. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, you said God loves us. He's our Father. There should be no condemnation. That's true. But how do we walk out this love that he has for us? Through grace and truth. And then we love him and others back because he first loved us. So listen to this. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. I want you guys to hear that. There is no saying anymore that you guys are going to believe because it's not the truth. Oh, well, that's just a truth covered in a lie. This is very clear. You are not going to have truth and lie working together. And the problem is that there's a lot of truth in the body of Christ that has had lies put on it. It's no longer truth. Do you understand that? It is no longer truth. I know this is hard. Some people would say, well, this is heresitical. No, it's Bible. If you have lies that have been applied to truth, it's no longer truth. It is no longer truth. Truth is pure. Truth is all light. Truth has no deviation or darkness in it. It is God. And so if we have a truth that has been subjected to lies and lies have been superimposed over the truth, then we need to get rid of that and get to the pure truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And this is an hour for the people of God to know truth. Not to know just Bible, to know truth. Are you hearing me? Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Now, Jesus is the anointed. Do you see what that's saying? Ooh, maybe this even ties in together. Now, I didn't look at this earlier, but Holy Spirit just pointed this out. Jesus is the anointed. And who do we have? Jesus. So we should not have lies. See, there should be a protection around us when we're walking in grace and truth and anointing of God that we should not be subjected to the lies of this world, the schemes of the enemy, or the deception of the ages, or the philosophies of men. I know this is intense, but folks, it's going to get darker out there. And there's going to be sons and daughters of God who are going to be twisted around lies of the enemy, and they're going to be following ways that they don't even want to follow. But because of the lies having opportunity to be extended to them, and them not walking in an understanding that they are in the truth. They live in the truth abides in them, lives in them, they don't have to be subjected to lies. But if they think they have to receive things outside of who God has made them, in other words, I have to learn this, I have to learn that, I have to go here and hear this, I have to go here to study this, and to get this mentality out of them, that if they don't hear it from somebody else that's got the quote-unquote title over their head, then they're not going to know truth. In a way, they could be set up for a greater lie. Do you understand? I didn't come up with this stuff. This is coming out right now. This is coming out right now. I'm just as shocked as you are what's coming out. But I can't stop. For whatever reason, Holy Spirit, over the past 6 months, is saying, you're my children, and I want you to know the truth. That's what he's saying. And we're not the corner of the truth. Boy, let's not get that either. Oh, well, we're hearing the truth, but other people aren't. No, Holy Spirit is pouring out all over the place. Holy Spirit does not need me to be the only voice. If anything, that's what we're trying to get away from. Holy Spirit wants you to rise up and in the anointing that you have in you, not just me. The days are coming where I should not be scheduled to preach. And I mean that with all authority of God. Because the anointing that's inside of you should rise up and say, thus saith the Lord. And it should not in any way where someone goes, oh, well, they're just hot. No, we'll know that the Holy Spirit's speaking. And we'll all be able to submit to the word and grow in the knowledge of the truth. Sorry. I had a tiger in my tank today. And it's the Holy Spirit, man. There's fire in the house. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the anointed or the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Simplicity. Jesus loves you. God loves you. That is, if we could go back to that, that's where we all start, isn't it? Yes. It's where we all start. We can say, well, you know, Pastor, I was raised this and I was raised that. That's what it means. No, no. The very beginning, God loves you. In your worthless condition, in your most nastiness, God chased you down, grabbed your heart, awakened it to life, and you became a son and daughter of God. That is the basic truth of the Word of God. And I will stand by that. It's not about all these other things that we've built. The simplicity that leads us to love is that God loves us. So listen to this. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Did you hear that? They try to deceive you. And he's writing about this anointing so that you don't get deceived. Not so that you go to some seminar and learn how to stay safe. And do not hear Pastor Mike saying, we're not to be taught by anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's what you're looking to receive truth. You can go and hear others, but you better know the truth. You better be able to discern truth, and not in a way that you judge them. They may not be along in the journey that you're on right now. We've made it so when we hear somebody that we disagree with, oh my goodness, you know, we throw the baby out with the bathwater, where there may be a connection of love that you may help extend them to a place where they receive even more the love of the Father. Now listen to this. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Hear that. It lives in you. It dwells in you. It inhabits you. Now remember, this anointing we're talking about is truth. Listen what this does. It says right here, and you, please say it with me, and me. not somebody that reads this and some Bible caller, just somebody, and I, thank you, better English too, and I do not need that anyone teach me, but as the same anointing teaches me concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Do you guys see what that's saying? That there's an anointing from God, and you don't have to be anybody special to receive it. You do not have to go in any special place to get it or to even activate it in you. It's there. It was there from the beginning when you received Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is the anointing. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Jesus says, it's expedient that I go to the Father, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to be with you, but he's also going to be in you. The anointing is in us, folks. The Spirit of truth. We don't have to be deceived. We do not have to be deceived in this hour. We do not have to be in that class that says, in the last days many fall away. We don't have to be in that class. I believe better things about you, because the truth of God is in your heart. The life of God is in you. And you will succeed in Jesus' name. You will. Because God is your Father. And he loves you so much, and he's not going to let you fail. He's not. He is not going to let you fail. That's why these crazy radical words are coming from not just me, others on Sundays and stuff. This just happened to be kind of consolidated today for whatever reason. Listen, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Someone goes, oh, praise the Lord, I don't have to go to church anymore. Wrong. Because you're not even here for you. You're here for me. You're here for the person next to you. If we could get that, oh my goodness, this place would be on fire. If we could get it that we're not here for ourselves, but we're here for every other person in the body of Christ, and what can I give today for this body that God's allowed me to be so graciously a part of? Oh my goodness. Heaven will fall. Heaven will be literally in our midst. And it won't be just a fire tunnel. It'll be touching everybody. That's what God wants. He doesn't want some kind of, you know, hierarchy where it's a pecking order and you have to be, you know, I know today we said leaders, but if you felt in your heart, come on, you guys, if you felt in your heart that you were a person of faith and you wanted to pray for them, I'm not going to stop you from praying for somebody. Now, if you're brand new and you're going to start prophesying to people and you don't necessarily know even what that is, then we'll probably come in and listen and make sure that, you know, it's good. Because I also have to protect. It's part of what I do. But I don't want to protect so much that I limit Holy Spirit from being able to be who he wants to be in his people. Because if I do that, then we're not walking in truth. And we're not walking in love. Would you stand? Well, Father, we thank you, that you're truth. You are truth. You are grace. And Lord, I just pray right now, just hold your heart with me, would you please? You hold your inner man right down in the belly if you want to, but just hold that, and let's just dedicate ourselves, our being to God. Father, we realize that you're in us through your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're in us. That anointing, you've smeared it all over us, Lord. And it's not just something that we can just wash away. It's in us. It's deep in us. Even when we stray, even when we go our own way, even when we make mistakes, it's in us and it draws us to you. So, Father, I pray that this Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, anointing of God, unction of God, that there is smearing of God in our lives, that you would keep us from deception. You would keep us from self-righteousness. You would keep us from having a mindset that we've already arrived. Lord, that we'd stay in a humble heart. We'd stay in a humble spirit. We'd stay in a contrite way, Lord, so that you can continue to work through us. And Lord, we thank you that we will not be deceived because you're in us. Holy Spirit, speak when you need to speak, and we'll listen. If you have to, blast a horn so loud that we can't ignore you. Holy Spirit, we give you full access. Spirit of truth, full access into every area of our lives. Any dark places, any places that are being consumed with life's pressures and life's lies, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just bring your illumination there, your truth there, so that we can see the truth and walk in the truth. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing an amazing work in us. We thank you, Lord, that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that you've preordained, you've had them assigned to us from the very foundations of the work, that we should walk in them. And Father, we submit to those works, whether they be loving others, Lord, or whether they be just loving you back with our life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Well, again, I can't, yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord.